Welcome everyone to a Delco Nerd Network hot take. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've never seen a hot take before, well, it's where a few friends get in a basement and we like to give our thoughts, give our opinions on a TV show, a movie, or a game. Today it's going to be a game, and that game is Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater. Here to go on this mission with me, as always, he's codenamed the Triple Threat, Chris Trio.
Gooch, I'm still in a dream, but I'm here with you, so that makes it better.
Wow, I'm in your dreams?
You're in my dream. We're podcasting my dream. But yeah, man, Delta, I'm excited to get back into it. We just had a full year of Metal Gear, if you will, almost. Not a full year. We did our re-threes, I should say.
Right. This is the first game review where we've, I mean, extensively went into the original. So going from a remake, we covered the original about a year and a half. Almost 2 years ago at this point.
Has it really been that
with
long?
The Master Collection's release.
Wow.
So if you're curious about what we think about Metal Gear Solid 3 as a whole, of course we're going to talk about it a little here, but like very in-depth, level by level, three episodes, it's about 5 hours long in total. You can go watch our re-experience of Metal Gear Solid 3 just to start it off, and it'll also be at the end of the video. Definitely not required viewing, but it's going to have a lot more fuller opinions of that original game. This is a remastered, you know, this is not a remastering of Metal Gear. It's not quite a remake, but it's somewhere in the middle.
It's weird, man.
I think we need to have a topic where we like define these things, because I was listening to, I think, Summon Sign or maybe Punching Up, and Gene Park was talking about it, and he called it a remake, and I'm like, this isn't a remake. It is the same game. It looks nice,
but
it looks
different. They completely remade it in an engine,
right?
So
which is weird.
So it is tech. I see what he said.
I was kind of like, I was talking to somebody in the LSM Discord about it, because I'm like, when you repaint a room, it's the same walls, it's the same room. But then he was like, well, it's a remade in Unreal Engine, so the walls are new. And I'm like,
it's like if, see,
yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, it's
but
more,
it's like this. It's a recreation of the same room.
So it's like if you had a house, and instead of going in and fixing it up, you built the same exact house next to it with new appliances, and it looked a little bit crisper. I think that's really the
and
best
maybe
way
it's
to describe
a little
it.
Uncanny
in certain
it's
ways.
Like a recreation.
Yeah, you're like, it doesn't feel quite right, but it is the same. It's interesting.
Right.
You know, I mean, I only played Metal Gear Solid 3 the first time when we did the re-3.
Right, so this is your second playthrough. This is my, I think, fourth?
Right.
The first Delta playthrough. What did you think?
So overall, it definitely felt like the same game to me. For better or for worse. I think for better, definitely. But, you know, whatever issues or problems that you have with that game or likes or dislikes, I think it's all there. But again, I can only speak to that as someone who's played through the original once, and it wasn't even the original, it was the remaster or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's as close as you could get to it at the time. I think this game is very special in a lot of weird ways, especially for when it was made at the time.
MGS3 or Delta?
MGS3.
Okay.
And I think that MGS Delta does a really good job of capturing that like essence perfectly, for the most part, especially when it comes to the stealth, especially when it comes to the gameplay. Everything's there. The weird mini games of fixing yourself up with the med kit. You know, you have to find food. There's just a lot of interesting mechanics in this game that, you know, I think Delta recreates aptly. And it is kind of going to be weird to talk about this, because I'm going to talk about the game itself, the original, in a lot of ways. But I'm also talking about Delta because it's the same thing. But I like it a lot, man. I had a lot of fun with it. I think just general idea here at the beginning was, man, I'm back in Metal Gear, and it's kind of nice to be back. But what about you?
Yeah, before I get into my thoughts, I think this is the first review. Again, I kind of started by talking about we've deeply covered this, but like I feel like we're going to be not really talking about MGS3 as the game itself. We're more going to be talking about the remake aspect of it. Like, I mean, of course, we're probably going to touch on maybe the story a little bit, but like we've played this game, we kind of know it already. So we're reviewing it from the perspective, I feel like, from a big perspective of the remasteredness of it. I feel like we don't review a lot of remasters.
I think the closest
thing, I'm trying to remember if we've really ever done that.
We did Silent Hill. We did Silent Hill 2. There's been a few for sure.
But
I can't name off
a remake.
For sure, in the way of, like, it's remade and it's pretty different, but, like,
And I'm when I say remaster, I kind of mean a game that, like, is pretty much identical but is like has a fresh coat of paint. So like, you know, it's like, I don't know, the BioShock collection, for example, like, I don't think we were doing DNN when that came out, but like, why would you review that? It's the same game, you know?
No, it's true. And
you're
not
reviewing it like you're reviewing the games for the first time. You're reviewing it as like a re-release of games you've already played.
Well, I think you're speaking to how different also the medium of video games is, because like we're getting into the meta-ness of this all, and I think this is going to be interesting. So when you remaster a film and you put it out, that all contributes to the original. It's the same film, obviously. But when you remake a film, it's treated completely different and re-reviewed and taken in its own right. But the thing that's so different with games and movies is that it's so rare that a movie remakes another movie one-to-one.
Right.
That whereas just, a rem- this
doesn't
is,
happen.
It doesn't. And whereas this is a remake of a game that is about, I'm sure there's differences that like, huge metalheads are all about
metalheads
and are all upset about, and I'm sure there's like little like minute changes that you know are very that are very frustrating, but you know, for me as a regular goer, this feels as one-to-one as you can get, and it's just such a different thing, and I think you almost have to take it as itself. I you know, I like talking about the story, and I think that there is still so many things interweave that you can't help but talk about the remake and talk about the elements that are already there from the original. So I don't know.
Yeah. So let me talk about my opinion now instead of going off on a tangent. I like it. It's Metal Gear Solid 3. It feels good. It plays good. What it is not. And I said right before we started recording, I went back and watched about half of the Re3, the new full version that we're going to link to at the end of the video in case you guys want to check it out. We talk a lot about Delta being an MGS5-ified version of MGS3.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, we're afraid that it's going to be that? Or
no, we are hoping in terms of controls,
interesting
gameplay.
Yeah, yeah.
Delta's not that. And it's I think it's a pretty interesting examination to go, you know, they rebuild MGS3 in Unreal 5. They don't use Fox Engine, which hasn't been iterated upon, I think, since 2021. I think the last game to use it is like one of their like PES soccer games.
Classic.
Use the Fox Engine, but like it's old, so it would have needed updating. Delta doesn't play like MGS5. You know, I remember talking to you being like, damn, I wish I could do the role that Venom Snake does in MGS5, because like that's so intuitive. But there, it does kind of feel like MGS5 in a Phantom sort of way. Like you can see where like the modernization of Metal Gear would eventually go.
Right.
And it's kind of like teetering on the edge of that line, hearkening back to like what that game did well with its controls and its gameplay, but still being MGS3. And I think that's something to commemorate. I don't necessarily think the controls are like the most, wow, this is like tight as fuck. It still kind of feels like rooted in MGS3's original control screen scheme's jankiness.
I agree.
Like I feel like they could have done better, but they didn't because they wanted to.
They kept a bit of that old style playing on purpose, or that old style feel, I should say, on purpose. And I agree with you.
And going in, it's really cool. There's playing with the modern style and the legacy style, and the legacy style I think is the original control scheme. But it's also, I mean, I feel like we didn't really talk about this in our Re3 a lot, that MGS3 was fixed camera angles when it first released.
It was.
Yeah.
I feel
like a lot of people do gloss over that point.
Definitely.
And like kind of forget. Like MGS2 is like that as well. MGS1 was like that. And then with Subsistence, sort of like director's cut, they removed that. And that kind of became the default version of MGS3.
Funny how like modern that makes a game. Just that change of just taking it and taking a fixed camera and then putting it behind someone makes a game feel like 5 years newer in a weird way. So I think that's why people kind of forget. And I think that's a part of what makes this game hold up to a degree. But I would actually like to go through and try the fixed camera angle one time or another just to see, to get that true experience. Because I'd be curious, man. I mean, like the Volgan fight or something all in fixed camera, I could only imagine how all that stuff is. Like, I'm sure the Shagohod fight, that would have been like,
I think it's exactly the same.
Is it exactly
because
the same? I guess, you're on the back
so
of the thing.
So when you
right,
aim
yeah.
is when it gets free, but when you don't aim, it's kind of like, it's right. fixed, right? It looks really cinematic. I feel like I'm getting away from like telling you how I like about the game. So when it first kind of released, I was watching some streams of it. People were playing it early and was kind of looking at it. You know, I'm in deep within the Metal Gear community and kind of listening to what people are saying. And like, I feel like the more you try to compare this and the more you kind of try to think about it, and Eva really doesn't, you know, you're comparing both Eva models and you're comparing Snake and you're comparing this to that. And you're like constantly comparing. We know that saying, it's the thief of joy. And I feel like the more critical you're going to get with trying to understand like detail to detail, how true everything is to the original. I feel like that is probably the wrong way to go about it.
Sure.
The further I got into the game, the more I kind of forgot about making those comparisons and thinking like that, and I was just kind of enjoying it.
Sure.
Yeah, it looks good. Vulgan looks so much better than he does in the original. Snake, I think, is more of a nuanced conversation. Like, same with, like, I think Ocelot looks the worst, in my opinion. I don't really love his, like, chiseled jaw. He looks, like, a bit older and a bit like I think his face is just really defined, and something about it I don't love. Eva kind of looks very porcelain doll looking.
Yeah,
but again, that's me, like, you know, staring at the screen, like looking at her face, like trying to find a problem with it, or like, and really comparing it. And some of these aren't my original takes. Some of them are other people's that I sort of notice and sort of agree with. Not everything, you know, I try to be true. Like, I saw Vulcan and I was like, that's incredible. Sokolov looks awesome.
Yeah.
Granon looks great. And then some other models I'm
so,
kind of
like,
looking
what,
at.
What's wrong with Snake?
I think a lot, like, okay, so I feel like Snake is built to look like Venom.
Okay.
Like, so they're
who
making
Venom
that
again? I'm sorry.
MGS5.
Okay, gotcha. That's Snake. Okay.
So
gotcha.
They know where they're going, right?
Sure.
So when they originally made MGS3, they don't know where they're going.
So what? He's too built. He should be more lean, is what you're saying, like body type wise.
No. He looks older. I think in the original, he looks a bit younger. He looks a bit goofier. I feel like in Delta, he looks much more serious, much more gruff. And I don't think he is that yet.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think there's like when you first encounter the guards on the bridge, the area that begins with a D where you can shoot the hive and they run across. And he, in the original, like he puts his binoculars and he gives this like goofy ass looking face and, you know, he sees the guards. That's not really, that doesn't come across in Delta that he's like kind of like excited to like, you know, see the enemy. I feel like the inflections of the character model for Snake in Delta are much more serious. And one of the things we talk about a very promptly and is how Naked Snake is kind of a goofball, kind of an idiot, kind of this young child kind of character who is serious, is trained, but like, you know, is kind of like goofy.
And how
like,
old is he supposed to be in this?
Like late 20s.
See, like, because a lot of this stuff for me, as someone who hasn't played this game multiple times and hasn't, like, examined each character model in depth, it just feels like you're interpreting, like, there's only so much a character model can do back then, especially when it comes to subtlety and when it comes to doing stuff with your facial animation. Metal Gear Solid 3 has some insane animation that still very much holds up today, the original. But, like, I feel like when you're remaking something in modern day hardware with all the detail that we have, you have to put your own interpretation into something that is like, I don't know. All the characters look like the characters to me as someone who has only played this once. Ava looked like Ava. Fucking Ocelot, I thought looked great. Actually, I thought he looked like the modern day interpreter. Like everyone looked appropriately aged and such for me in the way of like how I would have assumed. Now, would I love to go back and actually like pay attention to more of these, like, you know, not minute because I don't want to, I get that. These are important little details that people have, you know, come to love throughout their time playing these games over and over. So like, I don't know. They just didn't stand out to me in that certain way. Like, I still very much
felt... That's good.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, I felt Snake's goofiness still 100%. And okay. Even, like, his whole... I mean, his voice... The voice is the key thing, obviously.
Right. The voice acting is the same. I only remember one new call, and it's that Godzilla call with Paramedic. They redid her dialogue to reflect, like... I think we're approaching maybe the 80th anniversary of Godzilla, and, like, that... is reflected in the dialogue.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like they kept all the voice acting the same, you know, it like re-recording it would have been crazy.
And it all sounds like still fine. Like I will say it doesn't sound like old, and I'm sure there's ways to clean it up and do whatever, but it sounds great still. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like those minor things, I think I am more ready to ignore as someone who isn't as large of a fan of this series, and I very much recognize that.
Right. So, yeah. Like, you get the quick glimpses of Sigint, Zero, and Paramedic at the end.
Right.
Like, you know, you only have so much time to sort of stare at them, and like I think Zero looks a bit odd. You also see him in the beginning,
right?
LBJ looks great. Like LBJ.
Yeah.
Like I always don't understand, because there's that cutscene in the beginning of the game. We didn't bring this up in our re3. He's talking to Khrushchev,
right?
And he sounds like LBJ, but at the end, it's a totally different
voice.
I don't know why. I've never heard anyone bring that up, and I'm like, why is it a different voice
accent? Maybe it could be the same one. He's just putting in a weird different voice. Who knows? I don't know. But that's still odd. So. I don't either. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And yeah, I think like the boss looks great. Like, you know, like for the most part, there's nothing I really dislike about Delta. When you're talking to somebody who's never played before, this is their starting point.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I would, you know, if somebody was like, hey, I like Death Stranding and I'm like interested to go to Metal Gear, my recommendation would be, yeah, play Delta. And then if you like Delta, get the Master Collection, and then you can kind of play MGS3 again if you want to play the original, or go to MGS 1, 2, 3, the Metal Gear originals. And I think that kind of pisses some people will piss some people off.
Sure.
And it's like, that's why they're remaking these games. I don't really love that Konami is sort of cashing in on what Kojima has done,
because
I have to admit, Konami is sort of on a comeback here, especially with the release of Silent Hill F. Silent Hill 2 Remake was a big success. A lot of die-hard Silent Hill fans loved Silent Hill 2. I think it's a great reimagining of Silent Hill, great modernization of Silent Hill 2, from what I know as somebody who's just watch the games,
right?
And I think like a lot of diehards agree. The Master Collection, you know, again had issues, but you know, this is Konami kind of like trying to make a bag with
definitely
as little as possible. And then we get to Delta, which, you know, is a, let's just call it a remake of Metal Gear Solid 3, but it's not a reimagining. It's the same gameplay.
You're
more or less
it.
It's the same, everything's in the same place, the guards are in the same place as you remember, the voices are still the same, it ends the same,
right?
There's no addition to story, which was something we talked about. To remind you, in MGS5 you find out about the XOF unit and how Skullface was Fox's backup unit that was sort of cleaning up the mess. Like the unit you don't know about, like when Snake left a body and left it there, XOF would come in and make sure everything was down pat. Yeah, Skullface was part of that unit. Like, so knowing that now, if you were remaking the game, you might
put a
think
reference
about
to that
referencing
that.
Yeah. And they didn't do that, right? They didn't add anything that wasn't in the original. They did add stuff back in. Snake vs. Monkey, which I don't know if you got a chance to play.
I didn't know.
It's a goofy little, you shoot the ape escape monkeys, and there's Astrobots there too.
Oh, cool.
And you collect them, and it's just
it's
fun.
Around with it. Yeah.
If you're like bored and you have like 10 minutes to kill before you have to go do something, I suggest booting it up.
Right.
But also Guy Savage, we talked about that when we were playing, and it's like, it's not in the Master Collection version. They didn't carry over, and we kind of explained like what it was. It's like a demo for a game that like never came out. And the fact that they got Platinum to remake that demo to put it in is like actually like insane.
It's very cool.
I don't think anything like that has ever been done in a game ever. You know,
like, I mean, especially considering it just doesn't happen anymore. Like that is so emblematic of the time it was made in.
Yeah.
You get like your demo discs and shit like that, like way even before like I was involved in any way, shape or form. Yeah. No, it's very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I like, you know, going in with the when you start the new game, you can pick I like MGS5 and you get different options there. And,
right.
You know, they're kind of telling you what the things are. There's some changes, but you know, I kind of like the changes. I think it makes it a bit more modern. One thing I loved by the time I finished the game, and the fact that you don't just get one code name. Because I was always like, well, if you get the Tsuchinoko, if you bring it to the end, you have the Tsuchinoko rank no matter what you did.
Right.
But no, you can get the Karatan rank, the Gakko rank, the Tsuchinoko rank, and I got Panther at the end because I was like running and gunning and killing and dying.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And I think you got...
Chameleon. I did.
Yeah. So
I got the no kill.
I was having like a real rough time going through this. It's like, I've played this like a few times. Like, I feel like I should know. And I'm like, also I'm trying to get calls and I'm exploring and I'm kind of like going really out of my way to like do things, make things happen and see a lot of the things just right. like I did when I first played. How were you playing this time compared to your first playthrough? I know... When you played it originally, you weren't doing a lot of codecs. I'm curious if you...
I was doing that a lot more this time. I was trying to mess with the radio. I didn't interrogate as many people as I wanted to. I didn't get a chance to hold up anyone either.
Sometimes I feel like you're just not put in the situations for you to think about it.
Right.
I got, like, a healing radio.
Yeah.
And I got that trophy.
Right.
But I didn't get, like, the support one where the bombs come
right.
in.
Right, yeah. I got the
disengage the alarm.
I got the disengage the alarm one. I think that was, like, the only one that I got. And I would like to go back and explore a little bit more and run and gun a little bit more and be able to try and mess around. I was very sneaky this time and I tried to stay as quiet as possible. You know, that's my way to go. I love that. And I knew that there was the killless playthrough, so I wanted to get that done.
And the non-lethaling of the bosses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I was bitching about Volgan in the group chat.
I had issues with Volgan too.
But once I realized what my issue was, Gage,
I beat him in like
5 seconds. I was
like, how are you having problems CQCing it?
What happened was I was misunderstanding CQC. I didn't realize you had to be moving towards the person every time you clicked the CQC button. So I just stand there and click it. And like,
oh, you stop moving.
And sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't. And I was getting super frustrated.
Yeah, I was just like continuing to move into him.
That was my issue. But like, I was getting past the first half of it so easily. Like, I was having no issue on that. But then he just kept fucking me up. But anyways,
yeah.
Once I figured that out, he was done. I did enjoy the boss fights a little bit more around this time. Just
because
I kind of knew what I was doing and all that stuff.
You're not figuring it out. Yeah,
yeah. I think it ended up taking me, you know, when I restarted some areas and stuff like that, 9.5 hours, I think, by the time I was done. And I'm sure a good bit of that was spent on Volgan. Just
9 hours?
9 hours total, yeah. How much was yours total?
I think like 20.
Oh, really? Gotcha. Yeah. So you were I wasn't exploring as much. I was definitely kind of going through and like... Just mainlining for the most
part. I wasn't using a guide. I got all the Gakkos and the Karatans.
Right.
I love the addition of the check marks.
Yes.
It really, I didn't use a guide. Actually, that's not true. Some of them I looked up where they were.
Right.
But like, I went through most of the areas and found them myself. And it's like, oh, you got your little check mark. That's great. Also, the addition of the Secret Theater is back. That wasn't in the Master Collection version. I don't know if you got any of the...
I got one of them.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch it.
I need to
watch it.
So certain guards have the little tape, and you essentially not even have to hold them up. You have to interrogate them, and they'll shake it out. They added 3 new Secret Theaters, so they made some that are Delta-specific, but the rest are the original MGS. And they're just kind of like... stupid.
Right.
Like they're
funny.
They're like
goofs.
Goofy bloopers where they might replace character models or like you know, like one of the new ones, Sokolov has this like beam power and when he's getting taken away in the helicopter with the Cobra unit, he like Kamehameha's them and they all die. And then they all blow up and they all say their names like so it's goofy, it's stupid,
yeah.
They're kind of like, you know, using dialogue from other places in the game and like putting it in. It's, yeah, again, worth like, you
fun.
Know, maybe you're eating dinner and you're watching them.
Sure.
MGS Delta feels like a fuller version of MGS 3 that's kind of been stripped down because of ports and remasters that like, you know, again, we haven't had the Secret Theater or the Guy Savage stuff or the Snake vs. Monkey. And for the Xbox version, it's Bomberman. It's a different character.
Up.
So it's kind of cool to be like, if you play it on Xbox, you're kind of getting like a different version of the game.
That is cool.
Almost like Pokemon.
Same with
PlayStation.
Like yeah, no, that's cool. Either one you choose. That's really cool. I didn't realize that.
Let's talk about the performance.
Yeah.
Because that was the big conversation around this game when it first released. And I gotta admit, to see like some of those cutscenes and moments like jitter and like lose frames, I was like, oh, that sucks.
So
man.
For the most part, I didn't notice a thing.
Okay.
I really didn't on the pro. Nothing like that was taking me out of it. I didn't really even notice much in the cutscenes. Maybe I'm not as fine-tuned of an eye on certain things, and I'm sure if you like maybe showed me it again and pointed it out, maybe I would have been able to pick up on it. I know the game is for sure running at a lower frame rate on PlayStation 5 Pro.
It's definitely not running 60.
Which is unfortunate. I will take a moment to say here, as someone who's bought a PlayStation Pro, there have been a few instances this year of really bad pro ports.
And yeah, Silent Hill F seems to be
apparently
another one.
I was still on PlayStation 5 when I had that, so I didn't even really experience that. I believe F. Oh, is it? So I haven't, again.
That's what I messaged you about earlier in Discord.
I did see there's
something with the grass.
With the grass. Yeah. I'll keep an eye out for it when I get back. I'm very curious. I didn't notice much so far. That's kind of the frustrating thing. I'm not noticing a ton of these issues, but like knowing that they're there as me does frustrate me, and knowing that I'm playing it technically a lower frame rate than if I were on a PS5, that's frustrating. Especially when the outset, you know, promise here was the idea of a melding of performance and, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? What's the other one? Performance versus
quality.
Quality. Thank you. Like a combination of the two. And I guess maybe you could say that if it's running at 45 and it still looks great. But still, it's frustrating.
You know, when it's a, you know, it's a PS2 game, you're kind of thinking, oh, you know, this should be running 120 frames or whatever. Unreal 5 just seems to not be it. Like, it's a shame. I really thought Unreal 5 was going to be this big thing, but like each game that comes out with it, like the fucking cracks are like so revealing. Like,
now,
it just
do you
seems
think
like
that
this thing,
Unreal 5, or do you think that's development? Because we see plenty of Unreal 5 games that run fine.
See, Borderlands 4 is having not the same issues, but it having issues with performance, and it's built on Unreal 5.
But like, is that not on the developer to maybe optimize it?
I don't know. It's
like
a good question.
That's the like I resist. You know,
I don't know
whose
fault it is,
because I'm just not technically minded enough to make that distinction. I feel like I've seen some people make the argument that people are just really bad at and I think this actually might have been a guy from Unreal. So, you know, take that as you will. But, you know, a lot of these developers seem to be taking optimization time near the end of a game rather than thinking about it all the way through. And I don't know how much of a difference that makes. I don't know. But I think it's very reasonable to see the connection, the through thread, if you will, of Unreal 5 through these all having issues. And, you know, drawing something from that. They need to figure it out, for sure. Mm-hmm. Or at least, you know, get developers to be like, hey, you guys, this is what you're missing when it comes to your optimization stage. Figure it out. And, you know, Borderlands 4, didn't that get, like, that got, like, pushed forward, right? It was originally coming out later, and then I think it got pushed forward.
I think
the beginning of September
or
something like that. So
I think it was like in July or August they pushed it up a week or two.
I can't. Either way,
yeah,
it is frustrating.
Right. They delayed the Switch 2 port indefinitely.
Yeah, that's not coming out.
Yeah, I'm almost like, no. I'm like, I don't. Yeah, it's not coming. I wouldn't be surprised if it got canceled.
If it doesn't come out on PS4, I don't think it's coming out on Switch 2. Genuinely. I mean, I do think Switch 2 is a bit more powerful than a PS4, but regardless. Yeah, I mean, the game runs mostly fine, as far as I noticed. It felt smooth and all that stuff, but that stuff still frustrates me, for sure.
What do you think about the additions of, like, kind of like the quick menus with, like, the camos?
Love it.
The codec having a quick menu. The inventory not necessarily having a quick menu, but I kind of wish it did.
I did too. That was the only one I felt like was missing.
I liked the fact that when you went into the menu this time, the music still played and it doesn't feel like this big juxtaposition between going in the menu and stuff. You know what was funny? I used the quick camo menu a few times, but sometimes I ended up just pausing and going in and, you know, going the long way anyway. But I did like those additions because I think we were talking about, you know, in the re3 of like, oh, dude, I can't wait until, like, the equipment menu, the backpack menu, is just a radial thing. It's going to be so much better. And they didn't really do that.
No, they kept most of the the menus are definitely updated to a degree, but they still very much are the same essence of what was once there. Aside from, like, the quick access, it all feels very much in the vein of what we've already had. Even the main menu. I mean, that's basically the main menu of the original, right, for the most part?
Oh, I forgot to... And the fact that you can speed it up and slow it down and zoom in.
I mean, just like the main menu, like, is that not that the same type of UI? Like, just updated and all that
stuff?
But,
like,
stuff,
the first screen, it's not like Snake CQC and the guy. Like, I was kind of surprised they changed that. Mm. And it's just like this run through of the first zone. And then after you beat the game, it's the boss's last arena thing. But yes, the menus are the same. The noises are the same, right? They kind of come with that iconicism. Yeah. I was just thinking of that. What did you think about the new rendition of Snake Eater? And the new, you know, the new opening. I mean, it's kind of the same, but like, yes, very different.
Just updated for, yeah, sure. Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I liked it, actually. It took me a listen or two to get used to the newer. It's the same singer, right?
Yes, it's Cynthia Harrell.
There's just a few little tweaks on where she kind of puts some emphasis, but for the most part, it's the same.
You can tell it's it feels like her. Obviously, she's aged a bit, and it's just a different rendition. It's a bit smoother.
Definitely. Yeah. No, I like it.
I didn't love it at first listen. And then I'm like, oh, okay, no, I kind of like this. And I love the new opening much better. You know, they didn't redo the music at all. They just redid that. I think if Cynthia had unfortunately passed away, they probably would not have done that.
Right, I agree.
Cynthia seems to be having some sort of resurgence within the Metal Gear community. I don't really think she was like kind of like online or like known. And then like somebody found her and did a Kotaku article about her, I would say like 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And then I feel like she's been much more online in the MGS community, and I feel like that kind of helped get her back in to do this re-recording.
Very
cool. Know?
Yeah.
It's an iconic track. Like, really, if you were to change that, like, with a different singer, and like, it would have, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. If she was not available to do it, they would have just reused.
Yeah, and they kept the song at the end, Way to Fall, by Solar Sailor, I forget what the band's called, but like, you know, all the music is the same, which is an interesting choice. You know, you think they might rearrange tracks, or even just remaster it.
I was going to say, just remaster it, I would assume.
Final Fantasy likes doing that with their ports. Like, even the pixel remasters, it's the same music, but they've rearranged the tracks, and they're different renditions of those songs.
Right.
And you can choose between the original and the classic. With the Final Fantasy Tactics remaster, they actually didn't do that. They didn't remake the music. It's the same music, which is interesting. It's just, again, I feel like if you want to change anything, I think it's easy to go, oh, we could, remaster, rescore the same soundtrack, right? I think that's kind of like a gimme, but they didn't.
Definitely.
I don't know how I would have felt about that, per se. I think, some of those tracks are just kind of like iconic. There's iconicism there that I feel like would have, you know, I feel like you hear something different and you would have been like, you know, triggered by it. But the fact that it's not changed, I think people probably wouldn't be necessarily bringing it up, because it's like, it's the same, it's unchanged.
I completely agree with you. Yep.
You know, if it were changed, I think we'd be having a much different conversation here.
Yeah.
Did you glean anything different about the story this time around? I mean, for me, it's the same game. I've seen this game 100 times.
No,
I played it a few times.
You know, for the most part, the story kind of hit the same way. It's a bit, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Over-explanatory sometimes, as Kojima can be. I think, though, that it's an interesting story, and I think it's very, especially for the time, ahead of its time, and very serious, especially for a video game when it's coming out. Like, I just can't help but appreciate that. But, I mean, just to speak on the gameplay a little bit, I won't get too deeply into it, because it is just Metal Gear Solid 3 gameplay. It's just such an interesting and dynamic game, especially for something that was created. And when did it come out, 2004?
Yes.
There's just so many little details that add up to make a very significant pile, whether it be the stealth system, the food, just how you can affect the story, and even just those moments where you can kill the end at first and stuff like in that moment.
Yeah,
like,
shoot him early, yeah.
There is just so much room to play and so much replayability that you can't help but see has been transferred into later games. And like, you see threads of it in Dishonored and like a bunch of other stealth games that even came later. And it's just, it's undeniable. It really is.
The game systems are complex, and they feel like they're new.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, even still, they don't feel like they were made in 2004. They feel like they kind of were just made. Again, like,
I agree.
Not a lot of games use like a camo index system.
No.
You know, or an eating system for that matter.
Especially like, in a game like this. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's just, at first, I feel like when you first see it, at least to me, it's like, what are we doing here? What, I need to eat and stuff? What's happening? But then as I started to play, and this was even on my first playthrough, I should say, like, I got it coming in this time. But, like, it's just like, oh, I see it. I see the vision. I don't know. I like this weird mini game where I have to suture myself and I have to use the correct kind of medical devices. I don't know. It really is ahead of its time.
And what did you think about the scars on his appearing on his body?
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a huge addition. And you can see the blood a lot more and shots and things happening to him. You know, I forgot to like, oh, let me take, you know, get Naked Snake and see his body and see what it looks like. And like, there's a burn on my back and a stitch and a scar down my face. Like, you know, you do kind of feel battle worn, and like Vulcan says, when you get captured, depending on if you're fighting a lot, you know, he'll say, oh, you have a beautiful body, but if you're all scarred up, he makes comments and be like, you know you've been through hell, and you know, you're clearly like a battle hardened motherfucker,
right?
Yeah, Fred, who was on our E3, was supposed to join us today, and unfortunately he couldn't make it, but he did send us a blurb, so I did want to honor his remembrance and
for not making it, but we appreciate it. Yeah,
and maybe we can jump off that a few more points that maybe I skimmed it, so this is like the first time kind of reading it, so let's see if he got anything we missed. He says, there's not much more I can say about MGS3 that I haven't already said. In my opinion, it's one of the greatest games ever, and definitely, if not one of the best series Konami would have had. Okay, he's hold on, his sentence structure. Konami would have had to make a major misstep to ruin this remake, but they didn't. Overall, I think the fresh coat of paint is great. All the characters look great, and the zones look beautiful. I'm going to stop right there. Some zones, I felt like, I'm like, this is what it was supposed to look like. Right. The top of the mountain. I never really knew it was supposed to be snowy up there. But, like, you can see the kind of the snow on the rocks when you get up top.
And
I'm
as
like,
you start getting up, it transitions.
Like, yeah, I'm like, this zone looks so much better.
Right.
In Delta. Like, infinitely better than the original. Like, I really felt like, again, like some of the zones just really came together in modernity with
you
better graphics and fidelity.
You feel each zone's like individual identity much more. It doesn't feel like you're just in a yellow space for the entire point of the part of the game. You know what I mean? Yeah. Again, I think, don't get me wrong, there's definitely many more like differentiators in that old game, but it just feels so much more different.
Yeah. I'm not as big as a fan on some of the remix music. I guess he's referring to the new Snake Eater theme. Yeah, right. The Snake Eater theme is so iconic part of me that it feels like it could have been left alone. The changes I dislike are quick camo being the biggest. Having the quick camo is very convenient, but not needed at all. You know, I kind of agree. Like I said, I wasn't using it all the time.
Sure.
I would just go into my menu anyway.
I just wish you also had the back. I like it because it's like, I don't know. I did use it a lot, and it's just
if
there if
it's
you want to use it.
Yeah.
But I agree that I would have rather seen almost, or I should say, I would have rather seen a quick access to the backpack, if anything.
The menus are purpose-built. You go into the menu, change camo, eat, use your medical supplies. The quick camo is so much more of a crutch for some people. The new controls are great. The new camera, I love. But it may just have been me. It may just have been me, but I felt almost sticking to walls when I was using the covering, leading to more than a few frustrating instances of being seen.
I actually agree with that 100%. I was finding like issues with the cover. I didn't end up using it a ton because of that. Actually, I felt like I was mostly.
I think I would agree because I did feel like I was glued onto it.
I completely agree. Yeah.
I couldn't be as dynamic as I could without being on it.
So. It didn't feel nearly as tight as like a Metal Gear Solid 5. Like that feels so purposeful with when you press a button, where you stick to, where you move to.
Having this and Oblivion Remaster in the same year was probably one of the greatest gaming experiences I've had in recent history. And if more companies do these faithful remakes or remasters, it would fill a niche when we have those lulls in releases. I agree. I would very much compare Delta to Oblivion because it's the original game. It's rebuilt in a new engine. That's not in Unreal 5. It's in...
No, well, so, but the weird thing...
Oh, no. Is
Oblivion... Oblivion, so, but the weird thing, again, it's weird. It's running on...
Creation
engine.
Yeah.
But like Unreal 5 is on top of it to just create the visuals. So again, that's still such a weird different thing.
And Oblivion has some new stuff. They changed some voice actors around. It's the same music. Right. And then there's the combat's a little different. Like to take Delta and Oblivion Remaster and kind of compare the two, it is strange. Because they're not quite remasters. And I guess they're kind of remakes, but at the same time they aren't, but at the same time they are. It's like there needs to be a new word for what those things are. Like, that's why they said remakestered. It's like a bit of a combination of both.
I think that one makes the most sense because it's like you are remaking something as one-to-one as you can. Whereas a remake, when you talk to like a Final Fantasy VII,
right,
you're that completely remaking it and redesigning it to an umpteenth, to the umpteenth degree or whatever. Like,
yeah, it's not even the same.
No, like I'm sure there are like some skeletal pieces and storylines that are the same. I would assume
the narrative and the characters are the same, but like
but the moment to moment gameplay could be more different.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with you. I think there needs to be some new word fashioned together, because when you talk, like we said earlier, when I say a remake of a movie, you don't think, oh, they remade that movie one-to-one with the same actors
shots.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? That's just not how they do it. So it's an interesting conversation.
For anything sure. else on Delta?
No, I'll just finish it off by saying I had a great fucking time, and man, do I miss stealth games, and I want more of them.
Ugh. To close us out, I do want to talk about Konami and what's next for them, especially for Metal Gear specifically.
Yeah.
The volume 2 of the Master Collection is supposedly coming out. So obviously we know that's floating around. We talk about that a lot in, the Re3, but you know, I don't think there's much to say there. What do you think they do with remaking MGS? So to me, it seems like they're going to go chronologically and they're going to do Peace Walker next. That would make sense. I don't think it would make sense to jump to MGS1.
Right.
What do you think, or what do you want to see from this?
Truth be told, I don't feel like I'm familiar enough with all those other games to really give like a very good idea of where they should go.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, logically, I think chronologically is the best way to go in the way of, you know, getting people acclimated to the story.
Right, because they're already off.
Right, they're off to the races. They started out with
well,
3.
Well, yeah, right. So, that's what I mean, off. Right. They didn't start with the first game.
Let's just, at least numbered-wise. Yes. We're starting chronologically. Let's keep going chronologically. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, so, like, and that's sort of what I was waiting for the Master Collection for. I want to run through MGS chronologically, but Peace Walker is not, I mean, it's on Xbox 360. You can play it backwards compatible there, but you know, I feel like that game getting a remake would really benefit it. It was a PSP game, after all. It's a much different situation than Delta. But then, you know, it comes in. Are they going to I've been hearing conversation of, like, remaking MGS5 and like, completing it.
Hmm. So what's
actually finishing it, adding the things that were cut.
Mm.
You know, there's... We could talk. That'd be a whole other podcast. But
yeah.
I mean, ask your question.
There's a ton that is missing from that game that feels key. Okay.
With the story, with missions, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
it just got cut because it was taking too long. They were obviously the issues with Konami and Kojima and all that.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Shit was just like entire chapter. Like chapter 3 is, you know, there's chapter 1, chapter 2, and then chapter 3 of MGS5, and 3 is like totally butchered.
Just gutted. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Damn. A lot was left on the cutting room floor. So the idea of like remaking MGS5 and like sort of completing it would, I think, is a really interesting premise.
Do you think people would accept that without Konami or Kojima, I should say?
It's a good question. It kind of depends on what is already done.
Right.
Because like, I don't think they would. They would just use what was already there.
Right. They just finish what they didn't get to finish, I should say. Right.
Again, with Peace Walker, it's just, I think that's, that remastering or remaking is going to be a much bigger task than 3. I mean, I think people like Peace Walker. It's a lot like MGS5 in terms of gameplay, in terms of operations. Like, you have main story ones and total side ops where you're just doing random things.
Okay.
Random places. Yeah, I think that would be interesting to see, like, a really modern take of that that's, you know, now beyond MGS5.
When did that come out?
After MGS4, so probably 2010, maybe 11.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, MGS5 is kind of like the modern-day version of Peace Walker, but, you know, to see that happen again post-MGS5 would be interesting. Yeah, I feel like chronologically is the way they would have to go, and kind of just doing the same things they've been doing. One thing I think would be really interesting, and I think this is the only acceptance of a full remake that fans and I would be kind of cool with, is remaking the original MSX, Metal Gear 1, Metal Gear 2, where you have no voice acting, you have, you know, it's pixel graphics, it's fucking Pac-Man for all things considered.
Right.
Like, that's where you really... That would really...
be a complete reimagining of what this game that would have be cool. been at the time. But yeah, it's or like, at this time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, would you get David Hayter to voice, like, a 20-year-old Solid Snake for that? I don't know. All these characters... we talked about in the re-3, I feel like how Hayter is sort of aged out of Snake. I just don't think he can do it as well as he could when he was younger.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think Konami has some interesting ground to tread as they sort of remake these games without Kojima and sort of, you know, kind of restart themselves as a gaming company. I mean, Silent Hill F is their first new entry. I mean,
yeah.
Silent Hill 2 Remake was... It's a remake.
Right. It's, you know.
Delta's a remake. Yes. Master Collection is a port and remastering of games. F is a completely new thing.
Right.
And it seems that F is pretty good.
So far, so good.
And, yeah. As much as I, like, don't really want to say it, it seems like Konami's doing pretty good. Well, you know, I remember what happened to Kojima. Like, I haven't forgotten that. So I always look at Konami with a bit of, like,
Fair enough, too. I mean, they've earned that. I mean, we also got to remember, though, Konami isn't just a gaming company. They do, like, pachinko machines and, like, a bunch of other things.
And that's
so.
Why what happened to MGS5 happened, because they were shifting away from game development to
these other things.
Supporting pachinko and gambling.
Exactly.
Machines.
So it's, I think they do even, like, more stuff than that. Like, they do a wide range of stuff. But
yeah.
Still, they were shifting, like you're saying, away from gaming, and now they seem to be, you know, shifting back and seeing that there is a lot of money to be made here. And yeah, man, Silent
They're
Hill
capitalizing.
F.
They got Castlevania, Silent Hill, and Metal Gear are three incredibly well-known series.
I will just say, so far, though, if you're choosing a horror game to play, play Chronos. Don't play Silent Hill. It's fine. Like, it's not even a question. Like,
really?
Yes. So far. Yeah, like, okay. Maybe by the end of Silent Hill F, I'll be like, wow, this blew me away. But, like, you know, it feels like Silent Hill with a fresh angle on it. Obviously, like, we're in a totally different setting. We have a new protagonist. I think there's a different element of horror that they're using here, a very Japanese-centric style of horror.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's very, very much sets itself apart.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, from games in general, but also Silent Hill. Like, they've never done this before.
Right.
Silent Hill is a very, like, American-grounded series.
Yeah. And even just the way the setup of, like, I'll just say this at the start. Like, Silent Hill F compared to Silent Hill 2 throws you right in the deep end much more quickly than I feel like Silent Hill 2's, like, slow burn at the start. But yeah, if you're gonna have to choose a horror game, go Chronos, please. That game's not doing nearly as well as it should be. It released at a tough time. Play that fucking game. And we're gonna review it at some point. But I digress. Anything else, Gooch, on Delta?
That does it for me. Let's close out this mission.
Let's take us out. Let's close this out. Thank you all so much for watching with us. You've been with us live on twitch.tv/DelcoNerdNetwork. We really do appreciate your time. You can find this podcast anywhere podcasts are found. Just search our name on your service of choice. We got a Facebook page, a Discord channel, all of which shall be linked down below. We're at Delco Nerds on, geez, everything with an at sign. You can find all this information on our website, DelcoNerdNetwork.com. You can even email us your comments, questions, or concerns to DelcoNerds@gmail.com. We're happy to respond. And, you know, if you can drop a like on this, share it with your friends, leave a comment, us know your favorite part of Delta. We love to hear it. It helps with the old algorithm. Goes a major way. So we do appreciate you. But for Gooch, I've been Trio, guys. Thanks for watching. Stay nerdy, and we will see you next time.